And welcome back to the House of Wellness. Michelle Bridges is here, Gian Rooney is here, and I'm the unfittest one in the corner. My name's Larry Emder. In Australia, more than 63% of households have a pet. Yep, for sure, we love them. We really, really do. They're adorable. But are they good for your health? Well, joining us now is a legend of Aussie radio. Her name is Dr. Sally Coburn, but you're going to know her better as Dr. Feelgood. Sally, good morning to you.
Hello, Larry. Hi, Gian. Hi, Michelle.
Morning.
Hello.
Got the team here, Sal. Big question for you first up. Now, in your experience, do you think really, because we do hear this quite a bit, do you think that pets are actually good for people's health?
There is no doubt in my mind. I'm a medical human person type GP doctor, but I think you need a pet in your life. And there's lots of reasons, Larry. And I think, first of all, they're a magnificent stress reliever. They give you unconditional love. You can tell them anything. They don't gossip to your friends and they don't judge you.
Amen, sister.
Yeah. they judge you if you don't give them the right amount of food. You know that. Sure.
And those big doe eyes. I'm thinking, Michelle, they're the perfect personal trainer. They look at you with your big, beautiful eyes, and they don't tell you that, you know, you've got to get on with it. They
exactly.
just look at you.
Exactly. Look, there's plenty of research out there that says pet owners, particularly dog owners, go walking more often than most people because, you know, for obvious reasons.
You know, Sal, we held off for a long time. In fact, we only got a dog about 3 or 4 years ago and the kids have sort of grown up now. But it's something that I look at our dog every day and think, wish I did that so much earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids were younger and, you know, it's just such a calming force in our house.
It's really good for kids too because it's very important that kids learn how to deal with animals, and all parents should actually teach their kids how to approach an animal because animals are animals, and of course you don't want them to bite your child. And there are actually courses that can be done on that sort of thing, but most responsible pet owners should know how to do it. But kids growing up with pets, a great stress reliever. Again, I can remember my cat sitting on my desk while I was studying. It used to actually sit on the work that I was doing, which showed you how much work I wasn't doing. But
yes.
Nevertheless, but I think that it's very important to know that it is a great way to get out and go walking because they'll make you do it. And once you're out there, you're also socialising. And I'm sure we all have noticed, pet owners, that people talk to you when you've got a dog. Great way to meet people.
Oh, it's a really good way to pick up too. So for anyone single out there, I'm here to help.
I can back Michelle on this. And Dr. Sally and I are both ambassadors for the Lord Smith Animal Hospital in Melbourne. I have a three-legged Jack Russell Cross Fox Terrier, Lester, who came from Lord Smith, and he was a nine-week-old puppy when I got him, who only had just had his leg amputated. So you can imagine fitting in the palm of my hand. I just retired from swimming. My unofficial babysitters were three single males who lived in a house down the road. So that when I went to work or whatever, they were looking after Lester and they would fight over whose chance and turn it was to take Lester for a walk because all three of them would meet women whenever they took Lester out of the house. So I can absolutely vouch for that.
Isn't the classic the fact that you go walkies with your dog and you don't remember the person's name, but you remember, you know, Bimbo or Bodro or whoever, the dog's name. And I don't know the people, but it is a wonderful thing to do. And what I'd want to say, though, is the other thing that you can do, and especially if you are a single person with a dog and you're looking for something to do, you can go and do some courses. And the Delta Society, which is deltasociety.com.au, is a national organisation that you can volunteer to go and learn how to use your pet in an aged care facility or a hospital, and you can be a volunteer there. And it is so rewarding to see your dog help someone else feel better about themselves.
So plenty of research around that having a pet in retirement can be beneficial for your health as well, right?
There is, but one of the problems we've got, Larry, is there are still some retirement places that don't allow pets. And I've seen tragic situations where older people have had to put their pet down in order to go into retirement. But these days, aged care facilities are very aware of the need to try and accommodate those animals. Which brings me on to this bit that I think is really important, which is when your dog dies. I've had patients come to me embarrassed and say, oh, Sally, look, I can't go to work today, my dog died, but I feel a bit icky because, you know, will anyone understand? The death of an animal, and Gian, I'm sure you can bear me out on this one too, it is like a member of the family dying. And Lord Smith, for example, has a special counsellor there, and Griefline, which is griefline.org.au, and I'll give you the national number in a minute, they offer a service for bereavement counselling for animals, for death of animals.
Right.
And I think we can't underestimate the effect that it has on people.
Because, Sal, I mean, it's important to point out, so many people have their pets for longer than their partners, right? Actually, like I know that's a whole other discussion, but it's true.
I call Lester my furry child. I have a human child. Lester was absolutely. The firstborn as the furry child. I would be absolutely devastated when he departs for the big kennel in the sky.
They bring so much joy to your life.
Don't underestimate the legitimacy of that reaction. It is legitimate and you shouldn't try and push it down. I'll just give you that Griefline number. It's 1-300-845-745. 1-300-845-745. That's a national Griefline number, and you can talk to them about pet bereavement. And they're just the best thing in the whole world.
All right. Sal, while we've got you, can we hit you with some other questions as well?
Hit me.
Because I know you love this stuff. Veronica has emailed in and wants to know, what else can I do to prevent sinus infections from allergies besides taking daily allergy meds? What else is around?
Okay, there's several things you can do. And that first thing is to find out what you're actually allergic to, because it could be that it's not an allergy but an irritant. A lot of times there's certain trees that produce little furry bits that get up your nose, and rather than an allergy, they're actually irritating the skin. Feels like the same reaction, but it's not. So that's one thing to do. The second thing is to look at topical medications over the counter to reduce the inflammation in your nose itself. And look, I've got to tell you, I heard this amazing remedy. This is non-scientific, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Mm-hmm. I did a radio program on this exact issue some months ago, and someone rang up and said, oh, my dad used to play golf, and he used to put some sort of, I think he said petroleum jelly. I wouldn't actually suggest that. I'd say some sort of, some sort of gel stuff on inside his, just inside his nostrils, and it'd obviously catch the irritants as they went in.
Oh.
I wouldn't use Vaseline. I don't think that's the right one. But talk to your pharmacist about what the best one is.
All right, so we've got to get this next question pretty quick now. Martin sent us this one. I've just been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Yep. I've always had poor circulation, like cold feet. Do I bring this up with a specialist doctor? Am I at greater risk of losing a limb?
Okay, well, the thing about diabetes is it does can eventually affect blood vessels. Yes, you do need to tell them if you've already got poor circulation.
Yeah.
It's highly unlikely, having just been diagnosed, that you're going to lose a limb in the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
And if you manage your diabetes well, you may never.
Okay, good advice as always. Dr. Sal, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're very welcome. Stay well.
All right, we're going to listen to you tonight on Talking Health. It's on tonight from 6 on 3AW. And if you're not getting 3AW, you can join in online, 3AW.com.au. We're back right after this.